Today, the White House dumped documents that don't say what the president claimed they say. A federal court just revived a mail ballot restriction, and two Forest Service workers spent 15 hours zip-tied at gunpoint. Let's walk through it. We start with the document dump. After President Trump's primetime address, the White House released a cache of election integrity files. Declassified by the president and White House counsel Pat Cipollone, they include intelligence chatter about Chinese influence and some local Michigan voter registration cases, but multiple fact checks confirm none of it shows widespread fraud or rigged votes. One email exchange flagged by the White House is just agency debate about how to describe Chinese influence operations, not proof votes were changed. The real purpose of the release is political pressure to pass the SAVE Act, a voter ID bill requiring documentary proof of citizenship that would knock millions of eligible voters, especially people of color, elderly, disabled, and Native Americans, off the rolls. Meanwhile, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals granted an emergency stay today that lets the U.S. Postal Service immediately enforce a new rule restricting mail-in ballot handling. A district judge had blocked it, but now the rule takes effect while the broader lawsuit continues. This means voters in D.C. and possibly other states now face new federal mail constraints with little notice before the November midterms. Mail voting is used disproportionately by rural, elderly, military, and disabled voters, and the administration is using postal regulations as a voter suppression tool. Then there's this. DHS Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen threatened Friday to cut federal election aid to states that won't comply with administration demands for voter roll purges and non-citizen screening. The move rests on the claim that non-citizen voting is widespread, which audits and studies repeatedly show is virtually non-existent. The DHS tool that flags potential non-citizens has been documented making frequent mistakes. So Mullen is using federal funding to force states into a flawed system. Now, the Forest Service. Two federal employees were kidnapped by a father-son duo in Shasta Trinity National Forest in California on Thursday. They were zip-tied, held at gunpoint in a trailer for over 15 hours, and finally rescued when the suspects surrendered. The father and son face federal kidnapping charges. This is not an isolated incident. It's part of a pattern of escalating threats against federal land management workers who already patrol vast, remote areas with thin security and face proposed budget cuts. The Interior Department finalized a rule Wednesday that ends automatic protections for species listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. Previously, threatened species got the same prohibitions against killing or harming as endangered species. Now the Fish and Wildlife Service will decide case by case, a process critics say will create delays and carve-outs for extractive industries. This aligns directly with Project 2025's goal to return species management to states and landowners. Over 300 species currently listed as threatened are now at risk. In Hawaii, a state Supreme Court justice wrote an extraordinary concurrence after the U.S. Supreme Court struck down Hawaii's concealed carry restrictions. Justice Todd Eddins called the conservative majority's rulings a horror show and declared Hawaii courts should not automatically defer to the federal Second Amendment interpretation when it conflicts with the state constitution. The concurrence carries no binding authority yet, but it signals a potential state-level nullification strategy, a legal challenge that could force a direct confrontation over judicial authority. The Justice Department subpoenaed 14 major law firms Thursday, demanding all communications with Trump personal lawyer Boris Epstein. These are not criminal subpoenas. They are discovery weapons in a civil lawsuit the American Bar Association filed challenging the administration's policy of punishing law firms that represent its adversaries. The subpoenas reach firms that already settled with the administration, meaning the DOJ is now weaponizing discovery to expose which firms resisted or cooperated. The chilling effect on the entire legal industry is the point. Abroad, the U.S. bombing campaign against Iran has hit bridges, airports, and train stations, civilian infrastructure protected by the Geneva Conventions. Iran retaliated by striking a desalination plant in Kuwait, a country not party to the conflict. These tit-for-tat attacks on civilian objects risk drawing the entire Gulf into a wider war, all without congressional authorization. Closer to home, a ProPublica investigation shows how a private anti-Muslim activist, who lost a British libel case for calling a Muslim TV host a convicted terrorist, prompted the Texas Comptroller's Office to investigate nearly 50 Islamic and Chinese private schools applying for the state's new voucher program. The schools now face scrutiny that could block them from public funds meant for school choice. And a quick note on other stories. A lawsuit in Louisiana uses the tragic but rare case of a woman allegedly coerced into taking abortion pills to try to ban all mail-order mifepristone nationwide. The pills have a safety record over 99%, and coercion is already a crime. The real target is medication abortion, which now accounts for more than 60% of all U.S. abortions. Also today, an Idaho bathroom ban remains in effect after the suicide of a trans teen plaintiff, May Pollard, whose lawsuit was dismissed as moot. A devastating reminder of the hostile environment these laws create. Project 2025 Review. We've now read, reframed, and logged 147 of the document's actions. The full map tracks 1,337 distinct actions. The watch is constant. We read it piece by piece, and we'll keep reading. Next week, the House Judiciary Committee is expected to mark up the SAVE Act. The Senate Finance Committee has yet to take up the bipartisan scam victim tax relief bill. The Ninth Circuit will hear arguments in the Idaho bathroom ban appeal in August. And the litigation over the USPS mail ballot restrictions will continue in multiple circuits. That's the day. It's a lot. Take it in, then set it down. I'm Gus Calloway. We'll be back tomorrow.